eternity. Though fear and conflict seize your weary soul, but just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home when surrounded by the blackness of a darkest night. Oh, how lonely death can be. At the end of this long tunnel is a shining light, for death is swallowed up in victory. But just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God, of breathing new air.
Preach a message tonight, what to do in troubled times. What to do in troubled times. And if you look in the Bible, the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 4, Acts chapter number 4, I often say this, one of my favorite accounts in the Scripture, one of my favorite portions of Scripture. But I refer and think about this passage of Scripture very, very often. And the Lord has begun His great work. He's empowered His church. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2, in Acts chapter number 3, the Lord has done a great work. Peter and John, on their way to the temple to pray after Pentecost, they encounter the lame man that's been sitting by the temple gate for many, many years, and they look on him in compassion, and Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The Bible says he went walking and leaping and praising God right through the temple. You know what God did? God reaped a harvest that day. They saw the lame man and wondered at the power of God. And Peter took an opportunity in the temple to preach the gospel. And a multitude of people accepted Christ by faith as their Savior. As Peter preached, Jesus crucified, risen, and coming again, the only way of salvation. But I want you to know something. When things are going great for God, the devil hates it more than anything in this world. You know, the devil hates people who are trying to live for Jesus. And when there is great movement and work being done for the cause of Christ, there's also an adversary. The adversary shows up to the apostles in the early church here in the book of Acts as a group of religious people, the high priest, Caius and Annas and John and Alexander. They all come together and they threaten Peter and John. I can just imagine Peter and John, after such a great victory in the Lord, having to face their persecutors and someone that had great power over their life. As a matter of fact, people who had just a little time before been guilty of leading our Savior to the cross and crucifying Him. They stood in the presence of their judges who told them that they should not teach or preach in the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter and John, with great boldness and the power of God, looked on that council and those powerful men and said, "We cannot but speak and teach the things which we have seen and heard." They said, "We can't help it. God's put something in our heart and we can't hold it in. If we hold it in, we're going to explode." And they went about doing the right thing. They were beaten that day. And after their beating, they come back to a group of people we're going to call the early church in the book of Acts, chapter number 4. And they speak to one another and give a report. They pray. And God gives great victory to His people. What to do in troubled times? Acts chapter number 4 and verse 23. "And being let go, they went to their own company." Peter and John, who we're talking about, they've just been beaten and released. Verse 23, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." Now, when we come to this portion of Scripture, basically we see Peter and John coming from a time of great persecution, reporting to the church, and the church prays. My message is very simple tonight. What to do in troubled times? The answer is pray. We could say amen, close our Bibles, and go home. That's the message. What to do in troubled times? We are to pray. The answer we find from this early church and their prayer, I think, is very profound, and I hope it will encourage you tonight. What to do in troubled times? Pray. Pray. Why do we pray? I often talk about this because it really helps me. Why do we pray? We do not pray to inform God. You've got it all wrong. Lord, I thought you might want to know that. Well, how foolish can you possibly be? Omniscient, all-knowing God needs you to tell Him what's going on. The Bible says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. The Bible says that God knows the words and the prayers that we need to utter before we ever know them ourselves. We don't pray to inform God. No, 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 no. Okay, I've got it. I know what we do. We pray to impress God, right? God is impressed by my long prayers and my elegant words. No, He's not. Jesus addressed this very issue with the Pharisees. He said, when you pray, don't pray like the Pharisees so they can be seen of men. He said, when you pray, go into your closet. Get alone. So if we don't pray to inform God, and we do not pray to impress God, then why do we pray? Well, it's simple. We pray to invite God to have His will and way in our lives. You see, God created us all with a free will. He will not work against your will. But God's people should persistently and consistently invite God to work in their lives. And upon the invitation of the Lord to work in our lives, God begins to work. And His will is perfect. And His way is planned precisely. And our end is an end that has the promise and the backing of the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowing that all things work together for good. For who? To them that love God. To Him that are the called according to His purpose. You see, we pray to invite God. What do we do in troubled times? We pray. It's interesting to me. Why did they pray on this day? They come from an exciting time in their life and ministry. The Bible says here in this passage of Scripture in verse number 23, why did they pray is the question I'm asking. And we find the answer very quickly in verse 23. The Bible says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. I've got that little word reported marked in my Bible. Do you know why they prayed? Because they had heard some amazing stories that both made them happy and made them sad, that both made them excited and made them sorrowful. It gave them great faith and fear. As we as humans hear reports, they affect us in certain ways. I'll be quite frank with you. I've just about quit watching the news. You watch the news very long, you're going to be depressed. You're going to be wanting to go over here to the parkway and get on that big tall bridge and wave at traffic as you fall down. Please don't do that. You watch reports. We hear them all the time. We're in an age where we can get a hold of the news worldwide within seconds of it happening. There's reports everywhere. You won't believe the report that I read. You won't believe the report that I heard. I heard this reported on the news. This is Cody Sturgill from Boys Spring Baptist Church reporting live to you right now. You won't believe what I heard. You know what happens? We get news. It comes in our ears. We process it in our minds, and it affects us. Now the church, the early church represented here in Acts chapter number 4, they could have had numerous responses to the report that Peter and John brought. Peter and John, first of all, they came reporting. They said, you won't believe what happened. We went by the temple gate, and you know the lame man that's been there forever? God put it on our hearts to witness to him. And I can imagine John giving this report. And John says, we walked by and Peter and I, we just stopped. Instead of just throwing a coin in his cup this day, he said, Peter stopped and told him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And John's telling the story and he says, and you won't believe what happened. In the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, a miracle took place. And that lame man, you know who I'm talking about. He's been there for years. He stood up. Not only did he stand up, but he went walking and leaping and praising God right through the temple. It was a miracle. Can you imagine the church, how excited it was? I can hear the church going, amen, that's wonderful. I can see the smiles on their faces and the joy in their heart that God's at work. And they say, that's not it. John continues his story. He says, that's not it, folks. It goes further than that. It's greater. You can only imagine, as he told the story, he says, you can only imagine what everyone thought in the temple area when they saw the lame man running through there. Everybody gathered around, and John, telling the story, says, and Peter preached the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus saves. And a multitude, somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 people, accepted Christ as Savior. Is that wonderful or what? Can you imagine excitement? They heard the news, Peter and John reporting. They heard the news. They said, but that's not it. I don't know if this is better or worse or what, but this is what happened. As they report the truth, they said, we're excited about what God is doing, but not everyone is. And we can already begin to tell that the world's not going to accept the gospel as a whole. And not everybody is excited. As a matter of fact, guys, church, Peter and I have been beaten and told never to preach Jesus again. You won't believe what Peter said to them. He told them, he said, we can't help it. We can't help but speak and preach the things which we've seen and heard. And they beat us and we're here. The emotion of the church goes up and down. And it's easy to think, oh my, this is bad. It's easy to think, oh my, this is good. It's easy to think, oh my, this is going to be tough. It's also easy to think, oh my, this is going to be good. There was a wave of emotion and thought and concern, I imagine, that came over that church. But they did exactly what they needed to do. What do? In troubled times, we pray. What do you do when you get a report that someone you love dearly has very little time to live? Pray. What do you do when you get bad news from the doctor? Pray. What do you do when the things of life disappoint you? You pray. What do you do when things are great? You thank the Lord and you pray. You see, we make a mistake. When things are awful, 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 Lord, please help me. But when things are very good, we're like, I'm pretty good. Doing well. But in every circumstance, we should pray. In the church, we learn from them, the early church, what to do in troubled times. We should pray. We should pray. No matter the report, we should pray. And that's what the early church did. When they received this report, they prayed. The Bible says in verse 24, and when they heard that, that's the report, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God. Lord, Thou art God. Now, they didn't just pray, but they prayed to God. Who did they pray to? Sometimes I think we forget that we have direct access to God Himself. Jesus Christ is our great intercessor. We pray in Jesus' name to God the Father, and God in heaven hears and is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He cares. He cares for us. You know what they said? They said, we don't know how to process necessarily all this information. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go and how to turn in the next step. We don't know what to do, but we're going to pray. And not only are we going to pray, but we're going to pray to God. Look what they said. It's just so simple. They said, Lord, Thou art God. They just made it plain. It's simple. The first word they said is very important. I don't want you to ever forget the significance of the title of God. What did they say? Lord, Thou art God. You know, children, they often use the terms for the Lord separately and in different ways. And sometimes when we should say Jesus, they say God. In Sunday school, you Sunday school teachers in the children's class, you ask a question, and inevitably some kid raises their hand and they say, "Okay, little Johnny, what's the answer?" "God." "Okay, good." And little Susie raises her hand and says, "What's the answer, little Susie?" She says, "Jesus." It's important for us to know the names of God and what they mean. But what are they praying? They say, "Lord, Thou art God." What's it mean to call Him Lord? We talk about it often. But every time I read this word, I want to be reminded that He is my Lord. He is God Almighty, Creator. But if I do not call Him Lord, then it is irrelevant how mighty God is if I'm unwilling to call Him Lord in my circumstances. You see, when we call Him Lord, you know what that means? If I call You Lord, that makes me Your servant. And when I call on God and I say, "Lord, Thou art God," I say, "I'm Your servant. And I know You're God of the universe." Not only do they say that, but they pray. They pray to the Lord. They say, "Lord, Thou art God," verse 24 there in the middle, "which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." Were they praying and saying words in the congregation for each other to hear with hopes of encouraging one another with flowery, beautiful words we call prayer? Was that what they were doing? No. They made it very clear that they were depending on someone, and that someone was not just anyone, but it was God that created the heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Verse 25, they continued their prayer. Point one is, why did they pray? The point two is, to whom did they pray? And we learn very quickly it's to God. They pray the Scripture. Look what the Bible says in verse 25. They're praying Psalm chapter number 2, and this is what they say. As they pray, they say, "Who," referring to God, "by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." What kind of prayer were they praying? And to whom were they praying? They were praying to God. They were praying God's Word. What did they have? What kind of resolve did they have in their heart? They had resolve in their heart that they were facing the adversary, and they were. And they were reminded what God had said in His Word in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? I want you to know something. Psalm 2 teaches us something. Heathen rage, it's a fact. You can be sure of it. Heathen rage. There's going to be people on television. There's going to be people on the radio. There's going to be people in the streets. There's going to be people in your family that have turned their back against God and His Word. And they will rage. Remember that. The heavens rage, and Psalm 2 doesn't stop there. The heathen rage. Psalm 2 doesn't stop there. The heavens laugh. You know, the Bible says that God laughs at their foolishness and their folly. The heathen rage, the heavens laugh, but the inheritance is Christ. I want you to know something. Jesus wins. The church, understanding the promises of God's Word as they prayed this day, they prayed knowing that God would prevail. Charles Spurgeon said of Psalm chapter number 2, he says, "God's anointed is appointed and will not be disappointed." God is in control. You know what they're praying? They were praying the promises of God. What do? In troubled times, we pray. We pray. When do we pray? All the time. For what circumstances is prayer necessary? All circumstances. To whom do we pray? Creator God. To whom do we pray? Creator God. How should we pray? In faith, believing. I love their faith as it's recorded in this verse of Scripture. Look with me in verse 27. Verse 27, the Bible says, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." I want you to look at these characters. Now they're praying, and this is their prayer. They pray and mention these characters. Look in verse 27, Herod. You see him? Herod. Herod played a very vital role in the crucifixion of our Savior. Pontius Pilate. You see it? Hey, I know him. He played a very vital role in crucifying Jesus Christ. The Gentiles. I hear their evil cries. Crucify him. The Bible says, and the people of Israel. Do you hear them? Let his blood be on our hands. Crucify him. Crucify him. Now these are the folks, the main people who played such a vital role in crucifying our Lord. What business does God's people have praying names like this? Look what they said about those names. They said, these people, Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do what? For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. You know what they're saying? They're saying that these men who are guilty and these people who are guilty of crucifying our Savior were like puppets on a string in the hand of God. And God's plan and purpose and will and grace is far greater than any effect that man can have on us. You know what they said? They said, let them beat us. Let them threaten us. Let them do what they want. It doesn't matter what the report says. God is on the throne and He's in control. You know how they prayed? They prayed in faith. They prayed in faith. They knew that God was able to do anything that needed to be done. And they knew they would serve Him no matter the cost. That they would serve Him. I tell you what, if in troubled times you'll remember the faithfulness of God, if in troubled times you'll remember the sovereignty of God, if in troubled times you'll remember the love, the sweet love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want you to know something. You can have victory. And prayer brings us into the presence of God. And prayer helps us to communicate with God and invite Him to have His will in our life. And it opens to us the opportunity for great faith. How'd they pray? In great faith. They said, I don't care what Pilate thinks he did and what Herod thinks he did. God has used them. God has used them for His glory. And God will do it again. And God will do it again. And God will do it again. What do? In troubled times, you pray. We thought about why did they pray? To whom did they pray? How did they pray? But finally, what did they pray? What did they ask for? It's okay to ask the Lord for things. You know that? It's okay to ask the Lord to meet your needs. What did they pray for? I'll tell you what, they didn't pray that the Lord would heal their hangnail that's given them a great fit and an ingrown toenail, which God is concerned with those things also. But they prayed something very wonderful. You want to ask God for? They didn't ask God to take away the trouble. But what they asked God for is very wonderful. Look what they prayed, verse 29. They said, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." You know what they prayed for? They didn't pray for a bed of roses and God to take their pain away. They said, "God in heaven, grant us boldness to speak." Oh, you know something? In troubled times, we don't need to pray for God to take away all the problems. But we need to pray that God will give us boldness to take a stand on the Word of God, on the principles of God, on the truth of God. To preach the gospel with boldness from the rooftops like never before. God, grant boldness. And when the world rejects it more, God, give us more boldness to stand on the truth that Jesus is the way and the Savior. They prayed for boldness. They understood that men were wicked. And that's why a loving Savior came to die on the cross, to pay the sin debt that wicked men could experience new life in Christ. And they said, "We don't want to hide in the shadows and do our own little thing, our own little way, and not bother anybody." They said, "No, Lord, grant us boldness to preach the gospel." You see, we need to be bold witnesses. We want all our troubles to go away. What a sad life. We have only one life to live for Jesus Christ. And it is soon passing away. And I want you to know something. The only thing that matters for all of eternity is what you have done for Jesus. The only thing that matters is what you've done for Christ. And He must be first and foremost. You know what they prayed? "Lord, give us boldness. We want to stand strong and true. Give us boldness." You know what else they prayed? They asked God for miracles. They asked God for miracles. They said, "We don't want just ho-hum, run-of-the-mill Christianity and life." They said, "Lord, we pray You'll fill us with Your Spirit and do things that can only be explained with these phrases, 'God did it. God did it.'" Look what they prayed. Verse 30. "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." What did they pray? They said, "Lord, we're praying that signs and wonders will be done. Signs and wonders will be done." I don't ever anticipate bringing anybody up on the platform and smacking them on the head. Did you hear about that? There was some folks going to have them a healing festival rally. And they'd worked it up all week. Friday night was healing night. And they'd set up two curtains on the platform. And they brought up John and Jill, for sake of illustration. And John had a terrible stuttering problem. And Jill had been walking on crutches for a long time. And boy, they got all excited. They brought him up here. And they said, "All right, John and Jill, go behind the platform and we're going to have a healing service." And the man standing on the platform said to Jill, "Jill, throw your crutches across the curtain." In just a moment, the crutches came across the curtain. And then he went over to the other side and he said, "John, say something." He said, "Jill fell." I think God is able to heal. But I don't think He does it with the show of men. And I think God cares about physical infirmities. But it is a far greater miracle when God heals someone spiritually. And it is a far greater miracle when God moves in someone's heart and they become a new creature. And it's a far greater miracle when someone, by faith in Christ, inherits the gift of eternal life. And you know what they prayed for? God sends signs and wonders. Do a work through us that can only be explained by saying, these things happened as a result of Thy holy child, Jesus Christ. You know what God's people need to do in troubled times? We need to pray. We need to pray. Not selfish prayers of take away our pain, take away our burden. We need to pray the prayers that call on the will and the work of God. Prayers that say, God, do something great and let me be part of it as your humble servant. When the church and the book of Acts found themselves in a very serious predicament, they prayed in faith to God and asked Him to do something that only He could do. Work. 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 And God's people can learn a great lesson tonight from these truths. What do you do in your troubled times? You pray. You pray and ask God to do something marvelous and mighty.